Conferences. Long agendas, big venues, always on your feet, barely getting to see the people that you want to see, and then, of course, the expense. Well, the three of us at Good Morning Hospitality are launching Good Morning Retreats. Our first retreat is this July 8th through the 10th at the Horst Hospitality Training School in Auburn, Alabama. If you go to goodmorningretreats.com, you'll find out more information about our first retreat that we're launching. We have already filled half the slots. We have 20 available and we have about 13 already filled. So make sure you go there, you apply, show your interest, and we'll get you all situated for our first ever Good Morning Retreat. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. And now back to the episode. Hey everyone, I was hoping to get this message put together sooner, but things like this unfortunately take time to set up. I just want to say that the acts of war against Ukraine break my heart, and I know as a prior service member myself that my thoughts and prayers go out to everyone who's fighting the fight that they really shouldn't have to. That being said, we have been working behind the scenes with all of our podcasts and podcast partners to put a fund together in order to pay for any refugee housing and other needs that go alongside that, like food, water, and any clothing needs. Internally, many podcasts in the Hospitality FM network have voluntarily given up sponsorship money in order to donate to the cause and are working on a unified message in order to spread throughout all of our podcasts. So this is me calling out to all of our property manager friends, industry experts, and anyone knowing of those providing lodging for Ukrainian refugees seeking safety. You can contact me directly at Will, with one L, W-I-L, at slicktalkmedia.com. We have an internal document that is being updated in real time, so if anyone could share this message within your network, we'd greatly appreciate it. I'm also placing in the show notes a link to our GoFundMe and landing page for Rentals to Rescue. That's rentalstorescue.com, where we're putting funds together in order to, again, provide finances for any of these lodging and relocation needs. So thank you so much for tuning into this quick message. I hope you guys are all well and safe, as I know we have tons of listeners in Ukraine and other countries in Europe. So thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you guys enjoy this episode. All right. Good morning. The dynamic duo instead of the trio this week.
Only one Michael on this call today.
Makes it easy for me. I'm good. Glad with that. Thank you. Just kidding. We'll miss Mr. Ross. He's probably watching right now, talking a bunch of crap about us behind the scenes, but all is good. How was your weekend, Mr. Golden?
A little tired, man. Had the first bachelor party in some time down in New Orleans. So, part recovery, part feeling my age, but it's
been
fun.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, that actually is perfect for today's episode. We're going to talk about our travel experiences recently. In order to get to New Orleans, you had to do a little bit of traveling. So I think this is a good fit. Mr. Ross has not been able to travel, so he would have just kind of been sitting there like a fly on the wall anyways. So it's a good episode to do while he's out and about, enjoying some time off as well. Before we jump into the full discussion and what's with the noise, we do have another revenue manage minute from our friends at Buoy. Instead of it being Tim, we now have Candace Spiker giving us the weekly details for revenue managers, hosts, property owners, etc. So tune in and we'll get to what's with the noise right after.
Revenue managers across North America are wondering if recovery summer is truly upon us. Well, it depends on where you are. Louisville, for instance, is opening doors to regional travelers May 14th through 15th, with concerts and a big basketball championship scheduled for the weekend. Same goes for June 11th, where a youth volleyball tourney marks the highest priced night of next month. Dallas events are a hit or miss. A rescheduled concert and an auto show are elevating rates June 22nd through 24th. Revenue managers shouldn't overshoot August 17th, though, because the ASAE National Conference has been scaled back this year. Finally, to Montreal, where we lost both the Grand Prix and Oceaga in recent weeks, but there's no need to panic. We anticipate elevated leisure travel over July and August, giving you plenty of opportunity to make up for lost ground. This has been Candace Spiker with Bowie's 60-second forecast.
Looks like Grandma just got off Bourbon Street this week with her grandson. But this week, pretty big news. Sonder's been talking about going public for a while. The dollar amount was announced and the SPAC was also announced, $2.2 billion. This is a great sign for the short-term rental industry in general, and really the travel industry. But this marks the second major multi-billion dollar IPO or public offering, at least this year or in the past 12 months for the short-term rental segment. And all signs point towards Vacasa joining the ranks by the end of the year. So really a mark of the times, a sign of the times for the industry and its professionalization, legitimization, and future funding of the space. So there's a lot of opportunity, a lot of money flowing into the space since travel has started to rebound. And the shift in consumer behavior and consumer demand is certainly benefiting drive-to markets, so hotels and short-term rentals in those markets, and then short-term rentals in general for longer stays, flexible housing, and generally just family travel. So exciting times. Congrats, Sonder. Wish you guys luck. But all in all, rising tides raise all ships. So good for all of us within the segment.
Couldn't agree more. That's where I think it's about to get really exciting as more stuff like this happens. More spotlights are hitting not just hospitality, but overall, like you said, short-term rentals. So I think and it's interesting. Go ahead.
There's an interesting piece. I read an article from a place that I won't cite, but it says investing in a startup right now in Mexico or India or Argentina would be next to impossible. Whereas places like America, where travel is open and these investors can actually go and meet the teams they're investing in, see the products they're investing in, it really puts countries that aren't opened up at a big disadvantage. Mm-hmm. You know, Canada, for example, you can't go in and out. Australia, you can't go in and out. Like they have funding that they can get within their own countries, but external financiers or investors, just it's going to make it tough. They're going to be two or three steps behind the US and the UK, really, especially on travel investment. And it's kind of a shame. A lot of good things. Oyo has come out of India, right? A lot of big things have come out of places that are not the UK or the US. Heck, even Sonder started in Canada. They ended up in San Francisco, but lucky for them. It highlights an interesting point that the longer countries struggle with COVID and keep shut down, the harder it is to rebound. And segueing that into the topic, I've been to New Orleans many times. I live within driving distance, been going there since college and having a good time. One of my favorite cities. I've never been for Mardi Gras, but this past weekend was the most crowded I've ever seen New Orleans. And there's people coming in from DC or from New York or from California where things have been locked down. They haven't enjoyed themselves. They can't go eat at a restaurant inside or drink at a bar, you know, without having capacities of people there. So I talked to some of these people and they're like, yeah, of course, like now's the best time to go to a city we've never been to that we always wanted to go to, like New Orleans. And New Orleans and Florida and some other, you know, southeastern states are really capitalizing on it. And they're jumping ahead in recovery a lot faster than the states that aren't. So we'll get into the good, bad, and ugly of the rebound of travel and a lot of things we've talked about on the show previously, kind of in predictions. But first, want to get your thoughts on some of that. You're out of Seattle or out of Washington, and I'd imagine restrictions are still fairly tight.
Yeah, and there's actually a conversation of going back to phase one. So I've had we have for our management company, we only have one property live, but we have another bigger property with 5 acres coming on board. And I've already had people ask to do their wedding there because the venues aren't. They're going back. They're going backwards instead of forward, even with vaccinations, even with people being vaccinated and all this other stuff. So for it makes sense. Like the reason these bars or restaurants in other cities that are open, we've had almost a year of pretty strict lockdowns. Now a lot of a couple of states and counties have been opened up a little bit longer than like Arizona's, finally opening, and Texas and all these other places are opening a lot more than others, like you said. So that's, over 12 months of revenue loss, basically, where they were supposed to be performing at a high level. It makes sense that they're open up and that people are flocking there because, let's be honest, it's not fun to see the same four walls 24/7. And I just traveled to San Diego, which is still, California is still pretty locked down compared to most. But I was kind of shocked when it, like, not going to lie, I was blown away that there was that many people out and about when I got there. It was busy from the moment, like, granted, it's a big city, but still people everywhere all night long. The first night when I was there, the roads were blocked off and people are walking and going to all these different restaurants and outdoor seatings. And there was no real capacity living there.
Yeah. Look, for me, being around people is energizing.
Yeah.
But you want to talk about sensory overload, from lockdowns for a year into Bourbon Street, that's like jam packed and, sights, sounds, smells, like everything. Majorly sensory overload.
I've never been to New Orleans. So, like, I'm kind of curious to see, because I saw in the beginning of the lockdowns where it was like bare naked streets, like nobody was there, to now, which with all that, with give or take Mardi Gras crowds, but it's kind of sounds interesting. Sounds like fun.
Yeah, for sure. So I'd say a lot of the crowd was more drive to than it has been in the past. Okay. But I think there's certainly plenty of bachelorette kind of parties. That's what I was there for. Mm-hmm. Shifting away from the excitement of getting to it, there were a lot of challenges that we're used to not facing. So we were there just for one night. There were 9 of us. So a short-term rental didn't make sense. And we did stay in a hotel. So shout out Marriott. What's up? The Sheraton's probably a 50-story hotel, one of the biggest down there. And check-in process was pretty smooth, pretty easy. Got in the room early. And you have to valet there pretty much. There's no parking. So access was good, welcome emails, all that, download the app. Not sure why I had to download the app, because they don't have like the ability just to walk to my
The mobile check-in?
No. They have a mobile check-in, but you still have to go get a key anyway, so it doesn't save you any time. It's kind of pointless. And so room's good, clean, all that. I'd say the struggle with the hotel. So there's 2 points of a hospitality touch point that you can win at. One is the check-in, and then one is the checkout. On the way out to valet for them to pick up our car, it took them 45 minutes. Sunday morning, everyone's leaving. It took them 45 minutes to get the car.
Did you guys call ahead?
No. Like you normally don't have to call ahead that much, and wait 45 minutes. But it's just like sitting at a restaurant and you're ready to leave, and the host or waiter never brings your check. Like you had a great meal, great service, and then bam, like you massively swing and miss, and then it just kind of leaves that bad taste in your mouth when you're going and writing a review or going in and wrapping up your trip. So I'd say a lot of people do focus on that first touch point, but man, do not forget that last touch point. And Sheraton in New Orleans, if you're listening, like get more, hire more people for valet on Sunday mornings. Like,
yeah, seriously.
What are you doing? Waiting 45 minutes to leave. If we had a rental car and had to get to the airport, like,
yeah,
might've missed our flight. Like I wouldn't build a 45 minute buffer in.
And that's the thing too. And I think that example shows, you know, we don't for one, like I've never waited that long for valet, but that kind of tells me either they're really short staffed or they didn't prepare. And I'm curious to know how many people or how many other hotels are struggling again to find a simple position such as valet. Like, did you see any kind of like, just kind of curious out of any job or like help wanted? Anything there? Nothing like no, we're hiring type statements. No, interesting.
No, I mean, it was probably if it's 50 stories and I don't know, 20 rooms a floor, like
sounds pretty
huge hotel. And they had two people working valet. Like,
yeah,
if you have, and half the place is probably turning over on Sunday morning.
Yeah, so 100%.
Bring in 10 valet people. Like, make this move. So,
yeah. Well, now I'm curious from a front desk standpoint, how was the check-in experience? Other than like, that's weird that they made you download the app because there's no Bluetooth keys. So I don't understand that point, but the overall check-in, you know, experience for you, I want to know.
Yeah. So I've got status. So you get in the fast line and it was pretty easy and straightforward. Like I didn't have to wait. I walked up, gave me my keys and off we went. So it was good. There wasn't much of a line on the regular check-in either. But it was, they made you get wristbands to kind of make sure you're staying in the hotel when you walk in late at night, I guess. I guess that's the thinking behind it, but kind of weird. Like I could just show you a room key instead.
Yeah.
If you're wondering, so I had to wear a stupid wristbands the whole weekend. Like it's not a resort or anything. Like I'm not getting anything for wearing this wristband. So that was strange. I don't know who made that decision, but yeah, I think maybe part of it is they're short staffed on security. So they want to be able to flag people that are not staying there more easily. Another thing, like we rented out the presidential suite for the bachelor party, or for the bachelor really. And when we arrived, they said, so someone else booked that one. They were told it's going to be another night for it to be cleaned because the group in front of them was a little too rowdy.
Yeah.
Terrible experience. Like they have one of those rooms in the hotel and you've got your expectations set and then downgraded, like
seriously,
because of a party. Well, I know of a sensor that kind of can help these hotels from parties getting too rowdy. And if you want to talk, it's called Noise Aware. I work there, holler. But like that cost them. The guy that booked it is like the premier elite status with them, and he was pissed. Like it's garbage that you have that experience on a one night bachelor party. Like you expect to get it. So You know, you have to think about the downstream effects of having issues like that at your hotels.
Yeah.
And at your rentals, right? Like if that was a rental home, you'd be screwed. Where else are you going to put them? It still wasn't what we wanted, but they at least had a suite.
Yeah. Well, and say, and the fact that you have a presidential suite that's booked two nights in a row, you would kind of, and you know, they're usually bigger square footage. They have more amenities. They have this, they have that. That requires a bigger housekeeping team, which henceforth should, you know, be prepared for back to back, especially in that type of city where it's kind of known for people to come for bachelorette, bachelor, whatever type of, you know, stays. It's kind of a, shocker to me, actually, to be honest, especially for,
it was, you know, part of the ugly, right? There's the bad is not having valet, and then the ugly is getting downgraded, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's about as bad of an experience as you could get. So besides just straight up not having a room, which I know can happen sometimes too. I mean, the highlight on the good, I guess one more bad, they did still have restrictions on like tables in restaurants had to be 6 feet apart. So lines were insane.
Yeah.
We wanted to go to Acme, which is kind of a famous oyster house for New Orleans. Shout out Lino Maldonado, knowing the owner, getting us a reservation to a restaurant that didn't have reservations. The line is literally like out the door, around the corner, a block long, and there's like 12 tables inside.
Wow.
And we walked in with 10 people after a 2 minute wait. So, there is still hospitality. It still exists. The service was fantastic. It was a great experience. I'm just glad we didn't have to wait in what must have been a 2-3 hour line.
Yeah, for real. That's crazy. Yeah, and I'm just thinking about my trip to San Diego, and there was a lot of places that were, you would be walking outside and you just are like, nope, can't, not even going to attempt to go in because there's a huge line. Yeah. And then even if they had a small line, it wasn't a place that you probably wanted to go at. But the nice spot was if you found the outside like dining that they set up on the sidewalks and there was some empty chairs or tables, you're more likely able to grab those. So that was kind of what we did. We saw a lot of good open outdoor seating.
I'm sure there were restaurants available, but it's one of those things like people have probably been doing their research for months, like on their first trip now, and everybody online says go to Acme, so they're gonna wait, like we're determined to go there. I usually go to Cafe Du Monde and get beignets after a night of drinking, but I didn't even try because I knew the line, like based on the lines the previous day, the line would have been absolutely insane.
Yeah. And you drove, right? You didn't fly to New Orleans? Okay. Yeah. And say flying is still an interesting experience. Like in the beginning, it was, all right, you have to have an empty row in between, which I personally liked. I'm not a tall guy, but I have longer legs than most. Like when it comes to proportion size, my legs are probably the longest part of me. So I like to have like the extra leg room where I can kind of just chill, but nah, not anymore. So that was like, I had a good experience. Nothing was late. Overall cleanliness and everything was great. But just being now packed back into the plane, is not a fun, like it never was a fun experience, but having that experience of having the middle seat open was really great. So for me, that there's no bad there. I do think though, if you're traveling right now during all of this recovery, during all of the reopenings, during all this stuff, it's going to be a lot harder for you to get into, get into the places that you want to experience, you know, because the anticipation part for me is what I like the most. I anticipate the experiences of getting to go to the best brewery or the whatever place that you guys were talking about for oysters. Like that anticipation of getting there is great. And then all of a sudden you know, there's a 5-hour wait. It's not the best. So that's definitely a bad, and my hotel experience was fine. Marriott, again, shout out. I'm not probably as high a status as you. I'm a gold elite, so working my way up. Okay. All right. Cool. But yeah, easy check-in experience. And the one thing I do struggle though with it at hotels now and front desks, you know, before it used to be, you know, tell them three things about the property or in the area that they should, you know, how to get to their room, the Starbucks opens at 6, and this, you know, shopping little center over here is open 24/7. Just check out the front desk or whatever. Usually that type of stuff is there. I haven't been getting that at all. Like, it's like, all right, you're on 12th floor in a corner room due to your preferred, you know, room type on your
profile. Probably not the training, right? Probably not the training that they're used to getting. And you lost a bunch of staff during COVID. And so without the training or without the education from hotel.school, Ross, then it is ultimately a worse experience. The Sheraton, they had a piece of paper that basically had like 50 restaurants listed on it. I'm sure their most common question is, where should I eat? It's like, well, here's a piece of paper. Like, not really the most hospitable experience either. But Ross, to answer your question, it's been great. Nobody's talking over one another. No, there's no confusion around which Michael should speak next. So
I don't have to say Mr. Ross or Mr. Golden. That's nice. For anyone who's listening and not watching on the live or the replay, we have Mr. Ross commenting in on YouTube saying, how is the show going today without him? And like when Mr. Golden was gone the last time, we did miss you. So for this time, Mr. Ross, we miss you too. Kind of.
Just enjoy your time with your family.
Yeah. Enjoy the family time. So yeah, I don't know what other experiences other than, you know, it's really busy, lack of training, lack of staffing, what type of other stuff? Like, I want to focus on, like, there's got to be more good. I think we've said quite a few, you know, bad or ugly, but.
Well, I think there's tolerance for not perfection right now because you just are excited to be out and about. So, I mean, advice is plan extra time, get there ahead, make reservations if you can. It's not the time to like just figure it out as you go because you're going to waste a ton of time, you know, especially in cities or states that might have extreme restrictions on amount of seating. Get there early, plan ahead, and be flexible and be tolerant. And I know we tried to, you know, wherever we went, tip really well, knowing that a lot of these folks were probably trying to play catch up from the past year. So, I think everyone's doing their best. So don't get frustrated and be patient and understand what's going on. And those of us in the industry, you know, it's easy for us to understand, but make sure your friends and family know when they travel, it's not like it used to be, not yet.
Yeah. Totally agree. I love that. That's the one thing, no matter what, even pre-COVID, telling friends and family, like, hey, when you're traveling, you know, here are the good, you know, know-hows or go-to things I always ask or suggest. But then it always comes down to make sure, like, the better you treat everybody in life in general, but the better you treat everybody at the hotel, at the restaurant, in whatever department, the better off you're going to be, unless that person's just a jerk. But nice. All right. Well, sweet. Anything coming up for you this week, Mr. Golden? I know we both love Mondays, but you know, Monday is just the beginning. It's always something to look forward to start. So anything coming up for you guys at Noise Aware or with anything in your life?
Yeah. Well, personally, this will be my last full week at the home office. I'm going to be hitting the road the rest of the month, for a night or two each week the rest of the month. So
awesome.
Super excited about that. Ready to get back on the road and wear my mask on these flights for a long time. And, you know, same old, same old. So yeah, a lot of getting all that stuff in order and getting out ahead of as much as I can in the coming weeks. But yeah, there's some really big stuff coming down the pipeline and just trying to get it across the finish line.
Amen. Couldn't agree more. Well, sweet. This has been a great episode. It's been nice to not have to go back and forth between three people. But Mr. Ross, we do miss you. We'll see you again next week. Yeah, till the Oliver crew. Awesome. Well, thank you again, Michael, and I'll see you soon.